This is episode 000040. Wake up, you piece of shit.
The tone control, it's tits.
Yeah. I never say it, but now it's just, I'm probably going to start saying it now. Such a mess. Like, so much trash and no trash bag in my trash can. I'm throwing stuff in there naked.
Commando trash?
Commando garbage. Bags of chips. God damn it.
Well, it's Tone Control Tuesday.
Oh, man, what a great name.
It popped into my head just now.
How did I? We've done this 40 times.
What day is it?
We've never thought of that.
Holy cow.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Tone Control Tuesday. I like it.
Not always relevant to the listener, but.
True. Well, yeah, because it's more like Tone Control Sunday night or Monday morning, whenever we happen to do it.
Right.
So I guess, I sent you a message recently and I was like, should we record? Like, should we push it back a day? Maybe something will come out. Like, I don't have a lot to talk about. Mm. And you were like, you dummy. There's a lot to talk about. But before we talk about it, I want to say thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring this episode and all the episodes of the Tone Control. Tone Control. Wait, pedalgenie.com/tone control and sign up for $1. Okay, but all the goings on. I bought a new amp. And I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Ah, you should be. It's excellent.
Yeah.
I bought an AC30. Finally, I've been talking about AC30s, and I was like, I finally found one. I had like had an opportunity to buy like financially and. Found a good deal for one with a Rode case.
It's really, really excellent and good shape.
That was the thing, because I was like, I have a Rode case for my DeVille, and it was the best investment I ever made in that amp. And I knew, if I buy a new amp, I need a case. I just need one for my life, because I can't deal with carrying something like this around all the time. Even maybe, I'm not gigging now, but like the handful of times I need to move something that's clunky and almost 100 pounds.
Yeah, AC30s have a lot of handles, but you still want them to have more handles. And
there's
more
three
wheels.
Handles. And you know, if you did it with two people, it might not be so bad. But the case also has two handles on the sides, and it has wheels. Right. So
gotta go with wheels.
Yeah. So they don't lock, so I might do something about that. But I got a wicked deal on an AC30 C2, which was released at NAMM probably like 5 or 6 years ago.
What's the C2 mean?
C2 means it is the one after the C1.
You son of a bitch.
Well, I'm not wrong. The C1 was a thing. The C1 was a 112, and the C2 they're made in China. It's not made in the UK anymore. But I'm hearing some weird, I think I'm hearing myself through your headphones.
Through my headphones?
Or I'm hearing something jingling or something, or scratchy. That's it.
Well, finish your thing, because I'm going to talk about this after.
Okay. The C2 is pretty much the current version of the AC30, not counting the hand-wired series and all that kind of stuff, all those limited editions. It's if you're going to go buy an AC30, you'll get this one pretty much. So the deal is it's kind of got the classic AC30 thing with some other really great stuff that people wanted, and it's widely regarded as a really great buy. Like, it's a really good version of the AC30. There's been a million of them over the years, and this is a pretty solid iteration.
Nice.
I think it won some like award, like guitarist best pick kind of thing from Premier Guitar or somebody like that. But it's got four inputs.
Yeah, like four, they do. Because you can jump them.
They used to have two, and they added two more so you could jump it. So that's a thing.
I guess I thought they had that for a long time.
Maybe way back they did, but there was some in the middle that only had two inputs. And jumping was a thing, and the C1 had two inputs and a switch that you could link the two channels, and it was basically an internal jump that was like hardwired in. And now there's four inputs, high, low for each, normal, and top boost. So you can actually jump the two, and you can do it the old-fashioned way with a little patch cable, and you can blend in the normal channel and the top boost channel together, which is just the coolest. So you can really max out each channel and then tame it with the master volume.
Cool.
It rules. Built-in reverb and tremolo, which sounds excellent. Two greenbacks, 30 watts, wicked loud, wicked heavy, wicked jangly. It's great.
Super, now, yeah.
I still have my DeVille, and I was playing in stereo earlier today. And
awesome.
It's clear to me that that's a really slippery slope because it sounds so much cooler in stereo, even just stereo effect and ping ponging delays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Holy shit snacks. It's awesome. Awesome.
Wicked cool. Sorry.
Wake up, you piece of shit.
Hey, settle down. No, that is super. That's a really, really great amp.
Yeah, I love it. And I've only had it since yesterday. I got it. It's from the same guy I bought my pedal train from, funny enough. When I bought the pedal train, he was like, hey, do you need an amp? Do you want to buy an AC30? And it was there. This was like almost 2 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so a while ago.
And I was like, yeah, nah. Like, I do, I want it, but, like, I don't need an amp. I can't. I was moving and, like, can't do that.
Yeah,
Not married yet and stuff. And I saw the deal come up on Reverb.com, and I was like, I know this guy. I saw that amp. I'm going to buy it.
So you bought it through Reverb?
Sort of. I contacted him through Reverb, and he pulled the listing down because they were going to charge him, like, some percentage.
Oh, yeah.
So we just did the deal offline. But yeah, he's a nice dude, and I thank him very much for this wicked amp. Sounds good. All original still. Could probably spare to be retubed. I mean,
meh.
Who knows? It sounds good. I won't do that until I need to, I think.
Yeah, amps can stay sounding great for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
True fact.
Well, I didn't get an amp or anything, but one of my wife's students 3D printed her.
Oh, my God.
a little TARDIS rattle.
Yeah.
So he printed it. This is like one solid piece, but it's hollow. And he printed these thin little things inside so that when it was done, he could kind of smack it and they would fall apart.
So it's a shaker.
It's a little, he intended it, I guess, to be a baby rattle.
Okay.
A TARDIS baby rattle. It's got a bunch of sharp corners on it, and it's like, there's no way near, I'm going to let my daughter anywhere near this. But I have a new desk ornament.
That's awesome, though. Who knows? Maybe it'll cut through the mix like no shaker ever has before.
It's pretty gentle as a shaker goes. Like, I'm wailing on it right in front of my mic. I don't know if it's even going to come out. But anyway.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah.
If it's not that strong, you need to put it on every recording you make moving forward.
Put it on
everything. It'll be your little calling card.
Yeah. Go on all my productions.
I have something disgusting on the inside of my wedding ring, and it's bothering me. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Sorry. It's probably dog slobber.
Everybody pause.
Pause, dogs.
So my dog didn't want to come down here with me today very much because it's cold down here. Like my air conditioning is running in the house and I have a little magnetic thing that blocks the HVAC vent down here because it's so...
Yeah.
We're below ground on this level of the house. And so it does not heat up like the rest of the house. And so when the AC's going, it just freezes the basement.
Same with our place.
Yeah, I could tell he doesn't want to come down here. So I got him a blanket. So
Is he partying over there?
Yeah. In fact, I'll snap a picture for the, since I'm talking about this, and I'll try to remember to, when the episode posts, I'll post this picture on Facebook of him sitting behind me with a blanket, which seemed to satisfy him. He's okay now.
He's just a sensitive, delicate flower. That's
he
all.
Was like, why would I go down there? It's nice up here. So what else is going on in life? In life and guitars.
And, I guess mostly guitars probably. Mostly we should guitars. Probably 10 minutes in, we should probably like do the show.
Do any of the things that were on the notes. Hey, your AC30 was on the notes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So what's this? Oh, a new line of super... What, were you about to say something?
No, I was just going to say, I almost didn't tell you I bought the amp until today, and I kind of wish I still hadn't sent you a photo of it, but like, I was like, I need to tell everyone that I got this cool amp.
Yeah, but I might have had a really jealous reaction on air. That would have been bad.
It's like super vulgar and... You just hang up the call, show's over.
Okay, look, if there's something that I could say I did, I reorganized the room behind my studio, which is where the furnace is in my house and stuff like that. And I had, there's this sort of crude wooden shelf. And I thought once I reorganized it and got rid of all the crap, I put my amps up on the shelf and all my cabinets are down below it. And I kind of wired them all up and strung the cables under the door. So now like any... You know, it's no work at all. Anytime I want, I've got everything cabled up. I got a 57 in there on a little floor stand. Sweet. I could put a couple of other mics in there and just, it's all ready to go. Cause I've had some bands in here the past few weeks and we just put their amps out in the back or use mine. A lot of times people really like that red amp.
Oh yeah.
I've the never one that's it. A little bit AC30 ish. but it, in kind of a weird way, it has a tube rectifier. Not as loud as the other one. And it has kind of a funny EQ. I don't remember the exact details, but I think it might be similar to that Baxendall kind of EQ. Because if you turn all the EQs down, it makes no sound.
Right.
So it's that kind of amp EQ. And then you could turn up just one and you'll get like just that range of the sound kind of in a really wide kind of bell curve. Anyway. And if you crank up the tone knobs, the three...
Oh, careful.
If you crank up the three tone knobs or any one of them, it will distort more in that range.
Hmm.
So it's like part of the pre-section and it's an interesting circuit. Anyway, but yeah, so those are set up so I can kind of just like play them anytime from in here and hear them along with whatever I'm playing with and... Since I was doing it for all these bands, I figure I'll leave it set up for myself.
Nice.
Okay, but anyway.
Anyway.
There's some news, I guess.
Yeah, you were saying there is a new line of super affordable guitars from PRS.
$499.
All coming in at $499. And they're the SE line, so they're kind of expanding that to be even cheaper. I think most SEs are like $750-ish. Mm-hmm. My SE was about that, I think, maybe a little more. But they're pretty much like the bare bones, just only mahogany, no maple tops, no figured tops, no nothing. Oh,
cool,
just,
cool.
Yeah, just rock machines, basically, which is, come on.
Hardware.
It's pretty much all you need.
Yep.
It's
get a good
mahogany.
Sounding guitar and don't spend extra money on the fluff if you don't have it.
Right. And you can then invest that money in different pickups if you want or something like that.
Right on.
So they're all mahogany body with rosewood fretboards. They have a set neck, so they're not cutting corners on like just going the bolt-on direction like some really affordable guitars do.
Yeah.
And they still have the bird inlays and all those kind of other nice, you know, the features of PRS guitars that were... reserved for kind of the American made and nicer guitars. They're throwing that on there. There's four models. There's a standard 24 fret, a 22 fret. Those are like the regular PRS double cut shape.
Yep.
And SE 245, which is a Les Paul style, and the Santana cut, which is like a double cut Les Paul style.
Hmm. So is that like a thicker body, the Les Paul style?
This 245, it might still be pretty thin. Hmm. Mine is a single cut. But it's
because yours
it's
isn't
thick.
Like heavy.
No,
yours
it's all semi hollow.
Doesn't feel heavy. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's semi hollow, but it's That's thick right. like a Les Paul. I think the 245 might be slim. I'm not sure.
Oh, it looks less Paul-sized.
Thickness-wise?
In the pictures.
Well, $499, can't beat it. It's a good guitar.
Yay. Oh, this one has a flame top.
These are brand new. Option? I think that's when you get like a little more expensive.
Okay. Yeah, it's under options. So. Yeah. Okay, so you can, you can totally like pimp it
out
a little bit.
You can spiff it up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what else? Cool. We were talking last time about, I guess, like a follow-up from last 2 weeks ago.
Guitar innovations.
Yeah. You have a thing here that we always talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised we didn't think about.
It kind of struck me when I was falling asleep the other night.
You're like, man.
I was like, guitar innovations. And I thought, well, one that's impacted my life greatly is these digitally controlled analog circuits.
Yeah.
You know, a true analog circuit, but when the controls are digital, it's repeatable and it has this extra cleanness. This, I mean, my recording interface uses this. So when I turn the volume on the monitors all the way up, there is no noise compared to when it's all the way down. Like there is no extra hiss in the speakers. It doesn't change. Like if I'm putting no signal through, I can't hear on my speakers where my volume knob is. Whereas if it was an analog, you know, the knob on an amplifier, essentially, it would be increasing all that noise floor.
Yeah, this is about to, it's at the deafening level.
Yeah. And then I thought, I mean, that's one of the things that's really struck me. I love this thing. I love that. And I love everything else about it. Like the recallable settings, but the truly great analog sound at the same time. And the same is finding its way into guitar stuff. We talked about the, was it Crate? I can't, no, I'm sorry. It was
Hughes and Kettner.
Hughes and Kettner. Yep.
Yeah. The Grandmeister. Yeah.
It had that amp that was all digitally controlled analog. And I mean, controlling your guitar patches with an iPad, just like it was one of those apps, except it's a real all analog, all tube amp.
Yeah. Your signal is still following the analog path.
Yep.
It's, it's that's a good one.
I think it's brilliant.
And then Brian sent us a tweet and said, Elixir Strings. Duh.
Well, what he said was, I don't know, Elixir Strings, I guess.
Yeah. But like, I saw that and I was like, oh, duh. Like, I only play Elixir Strings. And I didn't at the beginning because they were expensive and I was, you know, broke. But now it's something, and they've also come down in price a lot over the years. But that is a thing. I feel like more and more people are playing those unless there's an endorsement situation. But
I've also heard of people that didn't like the feel of them, though.
It's definitely something to get used to.
Yeah, there are people who don't bother. Like, they'll change strings more just because they don't like the feel or...
They are slipperier under the skin. But, like, I don't know. I had this, like, weird, I can play faster now kind of thing.
I can, like, move around. Grease in your frets.
Yeah, I can move around quicker. And I don't know. I liked it.
It's probably lying to yourself.
Well, I did feel the difference. But it's not that I did play faster. But they're moving from, like... way down low to way up high, there's less resistance. Because they're covered in Teflon.
Yeah. There were those strings some weeks ago. It was a new kind of string that was supposed to last a really long time.
Were they like cobalt or something?
Well, I think it was something different than the cobalt. The cobalt we ended up talking about with John Lindsay and those guys. But I never got to try them, so I have no idea if they're innovative.
What do you say we dig into it?
Okay, let's do a little news, a little more news.
Our second bullet here is, I would say that's innovative.
Strymon Dig Dual Digital Delay. So why is it called Dig?
I think it's dual, I don't know.
Yep, you're done. You're done after the first D.
I don't know why it's called Dig. Maybe because it's better than DDD. I don't know. This thing is pink, and it says Dig on it. And it's a dual delay, and it's two synchronized delay effects in one pedal.
Okay, so sharing a tempo but having different delay times.
Exactly. So there are two delay time and delay mix controls. So you have your one, and then your next one comes in at a subdivision of your first one.
And they're both going to be a subdivision of the tap, I guess.
Right. So you've got an on-off switch and a tap tempo. There are three types of delay sounds. ADM, which I forget what it stands for already. I watched the video and didn't write it down, which is an early 80s adaptive delta modulation. I didn't read my notes.
Okay.
12-bit, which is more mid-80s pulse code modulation. The video that explains all this goes into how these vintage 80s delays worked, and they're basically creating that in the DIG. And then there's a 2496 high resolution with a really subtle modulation digital delay as well. What else? There's another switch for modulation settings for off, light, and deep modulation. Lots and lots of subdivisions, triplet, eighth, dotted quarter, and the golden ratio.
You know what that is?
I know what the golden ratio is. I don't know what it's got to do with space time.
Well, it must be, it'd be like the delays that never repeats, like fractal patterns practically.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess so.
So, because it's like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's like.
Well, it's the Fibonacci thing, right?
Yeah.
So. Wicked. Anyway, and that's a subdivision on the DIG.
Yeah.
So these, like I said, these are two delays that are permanently synced, but there is a mode they call free mode, which unsyncs the two delays.
Whoa!
And it's just totally wackadoo double delay action.
Yeah. All right.
So I can't shake my bell.
I was at the furniture store buying a recliner.
As you do.
Like a feller does. And they had a giant bell. I sent Derek a picture of it.
Yeah.
It was like 12 inches across.
Did you smack it?
I wanted to.
No, just say the tone control.
Bam! it was $50. I really wanted to bring it home, but I just couldn't. $50 joke.
What's the return policy?
I don't know. I think to bring it home and then it would have been a surprise, right? I could have it sitting here next to me, and when you said something funny, I could hit it and go, Kong. Jeez, you're gonna have Justin, like yours sounds deeper.
You're going to have like a John Bonham style gong behind you.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, what else? So the delays can be set to series or parallel. So series, having two stomp boxes. You just got one delay and then the next.
Well, one feeds into the other. So
sure, right.
Its repeats will be caught up in the next one's repeats.
Yeah, which is the classic way of doing it for those epic Queen, Brian May, self-harmonizing type of sounds. You can do parallel or ping pong also because the pedal is in fact stereo. Parallel means the two delays do not interact. Delay one is sent to the left and delay two is sent to the right.
Okay. Can you have them not interact, but have them both sent to both?
Yes. I think that's I'm sure you can. I think that's the standard parallel mode. And then there's like a ping pong, which is also parallel, which will bounce them back and forth.
Right.
This thing sounds cool. It sounds like wicked 80s delays and stuff. It's very clear. It's got a tap tempo bypass. Same
so
size
this
as
isn't
the gonna smaller.
Have any kind of crudding up of your repeats as it goes, right? It's like a pure digital the whole time.
Very crystal clear digital repeats. There's some modulation, but they won't get darker or brighter.
It's not like the Bucket Brigade stuff where it gets all crispy and fizzy and fuzzy.
Yep. There's an expression input, which you can use like a regular expression type pedal or a external tap tempo or a Strymon favorite switch. Mono in, but it's TRS, so you can just have a splitter going into that, and you can be stereo in and out.
For using it in just studio or something?
Yeah. Yep. And it works for all kinds of stuff. They demoed it using keys, guitar, bass. It's cool.
Hey, do you see the little symbol that they're using to represent the golden ratio repeats? Yeah. That's it. It's that fractal curve that never touches itself. I'm telling you. Math.
I had to draw one of these for work recently. So delay one, they call the master delay, and delay two is the companion delay.
Companion delay.
Companion cube.
Yeah.
It's up for pre-order. Orders Tuesday today. It ships today, as of this recording, the 26th. $299.
Oh, get this. Holding down the tap foot switch enables circular repeats, where both delay lines maintain a static volume and repeat continuously until tap foot switch is disengaged.
Excellent.
At this point, all previous settings will be restored. So it's like one of those, like, hold pedal. What kind of pedal has that, you press it and it, like, freaks out while you're holding it down and trying to think.
Well, there's like the EHX freeze, which just holds the tone that came into it.
Right. Like a sample hold.
Yeah.
But for your delays, delay so infinitely for a second.
You can create a wash, but it won't self-oscillate, right? Or does it?
I don't know. I guess it depends how much is going on, but they don't decay.
In the demo I saw, it didn't sound like it was going into self-oscillation.
Maybe it stops taking new inputs.
Ah, that would be the thing.
I don't know. It doesn't say that, though. It says that they repeat continuously.
There are a handful of very long videos demoing this pedal. I recommend you watch them if you're interested. Mm-hmm. There are secondary functions like many Strymon pedals. You hold two foot switches. You hold them both down. And the knobs, depending on where they are in their range, will kind of alter your subdivisions, whether you're in sync mode or free mode, there is like a really slight filter sweep on the repeats. You can change that as well.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Some other stuff. So $300. It's the standard Strymon size, that kind of squarish pedal. This is pretty rad. I'm thinking also, sidebar, similar to the AC30 conversation, thinking about pulling the trigger on the Strymon Flint.
So the Flint was
reverb and tremolo.
Okay, I was about to wonder if that was the tape flangey one. Reverb and tremolo. Yes, I remember that one.
Deco, is that the one you're thinking
of? Yes, yes,
yes. Just because it's kind of...
Because eek.
I never say this, but it's tits. That's not a thing I ever say, but that's what this pedal is. Although my new amp does have some pretty rad tube tremolo.
Oh, so is it the power tube kind of tremolo? Yeah, it's not really,
it's not super vibey, but it's good. And a buddy of ours, Alex from Copper Sound Pedals, is going to build me a foot switch for it because it didn't come with one. For the reverb and tremolo, you turn them off and on with the foot switch. Didn't come with it. It's X amount of dollars. And I asked him how much it would cost. And he was like, X dollars minus 10. How about that? And I was like, awesome.
You're the man.
So we're going to do that. And I'll post photos of that when that comes. I just talked to him today. Probably be a little bit. But I'd asked him to kind of match it to the AC30 control plate. Because he does custom pedal builds.
And he paints them and stuff.
He paints
them
himself, and like he's relicking pedals and stuff. It looks awesome.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he's got his website up, by the way. Go to coppersoundpedals.com. And hit the gallery. All the coolest looking pedals. You can see the two that I have there, amongst others. It's just, he's doing really awesome stuff. And I asked him, like, can you match the AC30 control panel with that kind of brushed metal? It looks like an anodized aluminum.
The first
aluminum.
Picture that came up is the volume pedal that he made for you.
Oh, the blue and copper one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that thing.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
I'm asking him to basically make the control panel. So the red anodized aluminum faceplate with the red LED and the green LED.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Look, hit the gallery and look at these. Look at the first
right
one.
Now.
Seafoam boost. It's a Strat.
Yeah, it's a Strat control plate and jack with the angled input jack.
He's got one down a little bit. That's a Tele as well. So it's so cool.
Where is it? Where is it? Oh yeah. It's hiding in plain sight. Oh.
I like the one right next to that. It's all banged up and stuff. Like, he's got some cool looks going on.
Took a grinder to it.
Yeah.
Pretty neat. I like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Very good.
Little mini news story,
little
I guess.
Mini plug. Copper Sound Pedals. The online store is open.
Yeah. Pretty affordable, too.
Shopee. Mustard gas, $100.
Not bad. Smoke Monster. That's like a clean boost, I think.
ABY switches for 50, dual tap, to specifically made for Strymon pedals.
That's to control the tap tempos on two Strymon pedals on your board with a single switch. That's awesome.
He'll hook you up for 30, stutter. Oh, that's so this is just going to be a cut switch.
That's what I have, but mine also incorporates a volume bot.
Right. So you can choose how much to stutter.
Yep.
What is favorite switch?
That's another Strymon thing. It's the one single preset holder switch.
Right. Okay.
It goes in the expression input. And check it out. He's making flashlights, pedal board flashlights.
So, yeah, it's a little mini pedal enclosure with a toggle switch and I guess just an LED light on the front for when you need to see stuff.
Yeah. And a little, it holds a battery and
cool.
$20.
$20. Looks like a pedal.
It looks like a pedal. Velcro it right to your board. I think that's really smart, actually.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
He had like some reveal about it and he was like, oh, new thing coming. What's it going to be? A flashlight. And I was like, oh my God, I get it.
Cool. I like his website.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Copper sound. Okay. Should we do Pedal Genie?
Hey, speaking of pedals, maybe it's time for a Pedal Genie, maybe.
I think it is.
All right, everybody. Hey, so what is Pedal Genie? It's like the Netflix of your guitar pedals. Am I going to keep this up the whole time? Who knows?
I think we know.
Rent any pedal you want for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. When they say any pedal you want, they really mean it. Pedal Genie gets all the latest gear from a great list of manufacturers, including JHS, Barefoot Effects, Full Tone, and Red Witch.
It's barefoot like the animal.
Yeah, barefoot. Anyway, that's just a few of them. They have like lots, okay? So just many of them. Okay, so only $34.95 a month. You get to try out any pedal you want for as long as you want. If one is not enough for you, though, Pedal Genie Pro will let you have three out at a time.
Boom.
Take a beat to let that sink in. Pedal Genie Pro is only $59.95 a month. So that's three for the price of two. Not convinced? Get this. Your first month is only a dollar. Why did he slow down there? That's the most exciting part.
I'm on pedalgenie.com right now, and I just want to point out to folks, if you sort by instrument, there are over 1,200 guitar effects to choose from at the moment. And they're always adding more. Always.
Oh my God.
I think like they add new manufacturers and stuff like once a week. Seems that way. So if you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you cannot live without, Pedal Genie will offer you a buyout price. Prices will vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, of course, but you're going to get a kick-ass used price for the pedal in your hand. You already have it. Like, that's the best. I just spit on my monitor. So head to pedalgenie.com/tone control and create your wish list. Once you get it all filled up with pedals and pay your $1, they'll send you your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted. Kapow! 1,200 pedals.
Gong.
1,200. Man. I think last time I looked at that, it was under 1,000. Which wasn't too long ago.
When we first started, I remember it being...
They have 115 pedals from EHX.
I remember being somewhere in the like low 400s when we first started. Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's a black hole devouring pedals, except that they come back out after.
Over 500 distortion and overdrive.
Oh, my God.
Almost 200 fuzz. Yikes.
Wow.
It's... Aguilar makes a pedal called the Corosaurus. I love it.
Nice.
That's not what I had.
Hey, so you go this week. You had a pedal.
Yeah, I tried to do this like super sneaky thing and send it back like almost a week ago now and get another one back so I could have a double whammy pedal review for the show. And the holiday weekend... that all up. So I've only had one pedal. I'll probably get a shipment notice tomorrow, but that's okay. I had the Way Huge Red Llama Mark II. Mark II because the...
Because they update them.
Yeah, well, the original Red Llama, I guess, is very old and from when Way Huge was in its infancy and they don't make them anymore. So when they kind of came back on the scene with Dunlop, the Mark II was what they brought to market. So anyway, it's a kind of vintage tweed voiced, really low gain overdrive. And what it's, the way it's, what makes it really great is that it really changes how it works with whatever amp you're playing through. So I played it through my two amps at the time because I have three amps now. And it really kind of changed a lot. Like it was just more, it was your amp, but more. So it has two controls, volume and drive. And volume lets you hit the front of the amp really hard and lets you get that really natural tube overdrive if from your amp. So if you're not into the overdrive of your amp, this is not really a good pedal for you. But then if you want a little bit more, you can just dial up some gain from there. So it's really touch sensitive. And the demo I recorded, I tried to demonstrate like how dynamic the pedal is. It's got a really nice natural breakup to it. And I had the gain or the drive up probably around 3 o'clock. It's most of the way there and it's not really that huge. But if this is something like into a really, you know, crispy amp, if something that's like really on the edge of breakup, you could get a really great rhythm tone with something like this. I think it sounded awesome. It blended really well with my TC Mojo Mojo overdrive, which is kind of got more of an EQ on it. The Red Llama is really flat. It's just your guitar, but louder, your amp, but louder. Really, really dynamic. It sounds really, really good. It has this totally weird switch.
Okay.
Which sounds like a weird thing to say because it is, but it's the switch on it. I have such a hard time describing it. It's you push it down. It's hard to press for one thing. Like it's a very stiff switch. And it doesn't click. So it's true bypass, but it's like hitting a soft touch or something inside and like a relayer, I guess.
Yeah.
So is that what we call that? A relay? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, a relay is like an electronic switch.
Yeah. So it must be doing something like that. And then it pushes, it spring loads back out when you lift your foot off the switch with the same pressure required to push it. So it's like, it's pushing your foot off itself. It's so weird. It sounds really strange.
So you say with the same pressure, because that seems like what all pedals do.
Right, but it's an exceptional amount of pressure in the first place. Right. So, and like, you know how like most MXR style switches or, you know, the regular switch, you kind of, there's a little free space and then clicks.
You hit the thing and it clicks. Yeah.
This is the same pressure all the way through that whole range.
So you don't feel a distinct click?
You do, but it's because the whole thing has just slammed into the on position. So it's really weird. And it's just like you push it, and when you lift your foot off, it's kind of your foot is like pushed a little. Like, get out of here. I don't know what the deal is. It's like not a spring loaded, like a typical coiled spring. It feels like a bent piece of metal is pushing me back up instead of a regular spring. it's a weird thing to notice, I know, but like it felt strange. So, anyway. I think it was really cool. It's definitely an always-on kind of pedal.
Okay.
It's a lot of people use two of them together. I found out because you've got your amp alone.
Sure.
You've got Red Llama 1, Red Llama 2, and then Red Llamas 1 and 2. Red's Llama 1 and 2.
Red's Llama, yeah. yeah, okay.
I liked it a lot. And if I was kind of shopping around for something like that, it would really be a contender. Way Huge makes great stuff. It's got a really cool enclosure. that like anodized aluminum. It was like this reddish pink. The demo, yeah, they're, like they're, I said, is pretty chill.
The coasters are cool. They're very light, right? Like the pedals feel light, but they're very strong. They don't feel flimsy.
Right. Big knobs too, which is nice.
Yes.
A bell for my finishing my beer.
I have, I had, what was it? The Rhino or something from them?
Oh, the Green Rhino.
The Green Rhino, which I believe is also a Mark II. Yeah. I'm trying to remember if the switch weirded me out. I mean, I don't know. I've seen
other way huge pedals that don't have this switch. Okay. It looked different too.
Okay.
And yeah, it was something special. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Red Llama.
So, and Red the demo, Llama like one. I said,
Red Llama too.
The demo, like I said, I kind of played it. I tried to play dynamically just to really
display the
range of the pedal. So hopefully that comes through. I don't know. A week ago at this point.
Don't even remember what you played.
I don't.
It's all good.
The show publishes and I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
I remember that riff. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. How much does this thing cost? Let's see.
Costs X plus 10.
If you search Red Llama, you get like a bunch of photos of the pedal, the circuit, and then an actual Red Llama.
No shit.
Oh boy, looks like about 119. Not too bad. Wow, a V1. The original, $400 on Reverb. Yowza.
Yeah, $119.99 I'm seeing as the general street price.
People love these things. I can totally see why.
Yeah, I think they have some cool stuff going on at this company.
Way Huge, yeah. I like them. I'm going to definitely add some more to my my wish list. They have the best names too. Fat Sandwich.
Super Puss.
Pork Loin.
Was this Saffron Squeeze? Oh, that's classy. Ringworm.
Green Rhino. Swollen Pickle. Angry Troll. I almost got one of those.
Cool.
I was looking for a boost back when. Yeah. Anyway,
what'd you have? So I had back-to-back JHS pedals. So last time it was the weird color box, blah. And this time I've got the Twin 12 channel drive.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up a tab on this.
Okay, so she's gray. She's got a little Statue of Liberty head as her artwork. This is basically a, because didn't we just get guff for JHS because they basically just circuit copy everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is essentially a tone copy of the Silvertone 1484 guitar amplifier.
Okay.
So this is like a single channel clean gain amplifier kind of thing.
This is a clone of an amp from 1 year. Holy cow.
Yeah.
The 1963 1484.
Well, yikes. Whatever. Okay. So this is basically, I don't know. I feel like kind of glossing over some of that crap because it's all just, it's sort of marketing in a weird way.
I mean, it's like, this is modeled after one amp that was made in March of 1963.
It's not.
By a guy named, like.
It's modeled after an amp that has five AX7 type tubes and two 6L6 type tubes in it.
Okay.
And big power transformers and everything else. It's a big ass 60 watt tube amp. Okay. Yeah. This is a pedal that runs on 9 volts and has no tubes in it. So no, it is not a circuit copy of that thing. They just made something that they think sounds like it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, so I'm just trying to cut some of this marketing crap away. They do have a pretty cool pedal here. Okay. It sounds cool. This That amp, in case you don't know what a Silvertone from 1963 is, it's basically Jack White's favorite amp.
Yeah. You've seen him around.
Yeah, like you've seen, it's in his music videos. That's the amp he's always making a big deal about. So if you like how Jack White's guitar sounds, this pedal really does sound a lot like that. Hmm. It's pretty cool. And basically, it's the original amp had a bass and a treble control. Again, JHS is using their kind of modified Baxendall EQ thing.
Yep.
With only a bass and treble, the Baxendall EQ can't really do a mid boost. When you turn them both down, it doesn't quite do that. It kind of gets quieter. It's a little funny. But, it does have a interesting way of shaping the tone, and it is effective, you know. But 12 noon is normal. They're active, okay. So boost and cool. Cuts. The pedal has a volume and a drive knob. Now, the amp did not have a master volume. It only had a volume knob. So that is basically the drive knob on this pedal. Okay. That's how hard you're pushing it. And then they just slapped a volume attenuator on the end of it so that you could match it to what you're doing and basically drive it a little harder. Because the Silvertone, sometimes if you were in a small club, you would have to crank it way louder than you really could in order to get the amount of like awesome that you wanted or whatever. So this is like adding that feature, adding a master volume feature. So it does sound pretty cool, actually, if you just totally crank up the volume and then ease the drive up to where you want. It sounds really cool. It has a big, thick bottom, and it kind of has this fatness that kind of comes in before it gets really distorted. So I don't know. I mean, I listened to some Jack White songs, and I was like, it sounds a lot like that. it has the charge pump thing, so it's running. It's accepting 9 volts, but it's
working.
Running its circuit at 18 inside.
But you can feed it 18. Oh wait,
it says it wants 9. I didn't ever try to feed it more than that because I don't want it. I mean, the charge pump is doing it. It's all the same at that point. So I'm trying to think what else about this. I mean, it's pretty cool. I because of what this is, I decided to play to sort of like do a Jack White ripoff riff. So that's that's what my demo is. It sounds really cool. It has a very thick bottom. It was almost too boomy sometimes. And I liked it best when I was letting it boost my amp a little bit. Mm-hmm. By itself, like if I have it quiet enough that it's not distorting the amp that's after it, I think it sounds a little transistor pedally.
Okay.
And it doesn't have enough of that tube thing to really sound like what that Silvertone really sounded like. But when you start to push it into the amp, the chords, like I said, they have all this big kind of low end energy to them. So the chords do start to sag and do funny things. And that's because it's being pushed into the, and you know, letting the input of the tube amp distort a bit. And that's how it sounds cool to me. So the demo was kind of like, drive was like a little over halfway up and the volume just so that I was getting a bit of that out of control breakup-y sound at the front of the tube amp. And that's awesome. What you're hearing.
Nice, nice, nice. While you were talking, I was cruising Reverb looking at Silvertone 1484s. just to kind of, they're out there.
And yeah.
Silvertone was the store brand from Sears, if you're not familiar.
I knew I'd heard of that before.
Yeah. Sears and Roebuck. Here's a 1484 Twin 12 from 1964 for $575.
Huh.
Like, these things are not expensive.
Yeah, probably needs a little work, but...
Yeah, it might. It says the reverb on this thing is a little funny, but on a blog post on the Reverb Tank, it says the Silvertone 1480 series is still one of the best buys for vintage amps. It's like an underdog amp, kind of really good way to get into the vintage market.
Cool.
Yep. Now so I'm looking at Sovtex. Oh boy.
So these are going for 200 new, and a quick scan of Reverb shows a few that are down to 180, 170. I see one that claims to be mint for 155. So that's the market on the JHS Twin 12 drive.
Nice, nice, nice. Looking at Sovtex now. These are cool. Oh no, I just bought an amp. Oops. Close the tabs. Close the tabs.
Oops. I bought another AC30. Damn it. Stereo AC30s.
Damn it.
Can't turn back. Can't slow down.
How about we just do left, right, and center? I'll put my DeVille in the middle.
Oh, so good.
So much rock. So many speakers.
So much rock. You're like the whole Foo Fighters.
Kinda.
Yeah.
They have some Mesa gear.
But they have three guitarists.
That's right. They do.
That's enough guitarists. Hey, so that's the story. Hey, there's one more thing to squeeze in here at the end. This Kickstarter, this has been making the rounds. I've heard about this on other podcasts already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. I think Brian sent this in.
Cool. Thanks, thanks, Brian.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Brian. And
what was
writes,
all that?
I don't know. I was trying out like six different voices. The Dynamount. The Dynamount. Mount. Okay, so this is a Kickstarter campaign that has already exceeded its goal.
Successfully funded.
Yep.
With 22 days left, they're going to blow this thing out of the water.
Yeah, they really are. Only 66 people have backed it, and they've already met their goal. So they've created
30,000.
Yeah, they created something, and they gave it a good price, and people want them. So this is a little robot intern for your studio. Is what this is. No, it's a Wi-Fi enabled robot arm that positions a microphone. So it's a microphone mount with a robot arm, and you can control it with a computer or your cell phone via Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me if they could be interns.
Really?
They did not know who I was.
Huh.
They just found me and they did not know that I was like, listen, I'm like a little guy. I'm in my house most of the time.
Yeah.
You don't, I can't. No,
you can't just come to my house.
You can't just come to my house and sit around while I work. Anyway, with pledge packages starting at just $1, which basically is just thank you.
Just a hey, thanks.
Hey, thanks. $10. What do they give you for $10? Oh, your name is listed on the site as a supporter. For $24, you get a T-shirt. And now things start getting big. So $1.99.
All gone.
This one's all gone, actually. So this was the cheapest way to actually get one of these, and it was the V1, which is a single axis with no rotation. So basically, this is just side to side moving of the microphone. So for $249, you get the early bird price for the V1
No, same one.
Same one. Sorry. So there was an early bird, which is all gone. You can get that same thing for $249 now, for $250. There is 8 left out of 10 of those.
Well, there's a few tiers of the V1. There's super early bird, which is gone. Early bird, 2 left. And then the special Kickstarter price.
No, 8 left out of 10.
Oh, two, 8 left
two,
out of 10.
Two
sorry.
Backers yeah. so far.
Right. Okay. And then the Kickstarter price of $299 for the V1. And then after that, after the Kickstarter is done,
okay, yeah,
it's going to be $400.
Then we have for $299, we have the super early bird for the V1R, which is a side to side plus rotation of the microphone, so you can angle and move the microphone side to side. Anyway, they keep going up. Eventually, you get up to the X1, which is two axis in out and side to side and rotation. Or no, sorry. The X1 contains no... Sorry. Okay, so there's four variants of this thing.
Yeah.
The one that only goes side to side, the one that goes side to side and turns, the one that goes in, out, and side to side but does not turn, and then the one that does all the directions and turns.
Yes. Dual axis plus rotation, X1R.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they've got, I've got pictures of this, and they're doing it to record a violin.
Obviously they've got it in front of a guitar cab, a drum,
Cab is sort of the guitar cab in the other room is kind of the obvious thing, a hand drum, kick drum. Yep. I don't know. I kind of think the guitar cab is the most, is where this is going to get most use.
Yeah.
I see a picture from somebody's perspective while they're playing an acoustic guitar, and he's got his phone out so he can direct the microphone in front of him side to side. It's like mounted on a stand.
Yeah.
So he can find the sweet spot for recording his guitar, I guess.
Sooner move myself in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. But you slide your chair back and forth. Do not pay $300 for... Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, so if you had it, then fine. But
if you have a live room and you have your amp out there, this is a great way to move it around without running out into the other room. This is something that big studios that have hallways and multiple rooms can get some genuine benefit out of.
Yeah.
And it would be a super cool toy for me to have, but I'm not going to plunk down that much money.
So part of the thing that makes this so great is that you can save positions like on your phone. So you can A/B different sounds super easily, and you can just jump from one to the other, and it'll just move the mic right over. And you can record a pass. It's the only way, and it's going to go back to, because it's robotic. It's going to go back exactly where it was.
Position. Yep.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, and I know you all are, the V1R is the thing. Like, if you could afford more than that, go for it. More axes. But don't get one without rotation. That's silly.
Yeah.
If you're trying to mic guitars or any other instruments and you're not including the angle of the microphone, that's silly. You're doing it wrong. So you have to get one with the R. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think I need both axes, but...
I mean, the depth, like, away from the cab or something, like, that's a little easier to do manually, I think, like, with really sensitive measurements and
Well, you marking. Also, you kind of... You set it, and that's where it's going to be. Right, if I was going to do stereo miking of a cab or dual microphone, so if I was going to do a ribbon and a dynamic or something on a guitar cab, then having this with the in-out, with robotically changing the distance to match their phase.
Right, that's one thing they point out. Phase sculpting.
That would be solid, and you could find the perfect spot very quickly and easily, much more easily than I ever do. but what I'm saying is the V1 without rotation, don't bother. Get up, walk into the other room, do it yourself. That one's in my opinion, that one is not worth money.
And these are all pretty lightweight. They're the heaviest one, the X1R, is just over 4 pounds.
Yeah, they got these mounted two mic stands.
Yeah, it fits on a standard mic stand. It holds, they say, almost every microphone. They show it with a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yep.
They're looking to deliver in October, November. So, coming up. This thing is cool.
Coming this fall.
The t-shirt you could get says, "I don't need to fix it in the mix."
I support this sentiment.
That's fun. And then there's some other like extra hardware goodies that you can get, like from onstage stands, like some the Posilock clutch for like locking in your mics at different angles and things like that.
Cool.
That comes with some of your packages and things like that. What else? It looks awesome.
Cool. A nice design. It's belt driven.
I saw in the video, in the little Kickstarter video, they show on the desktop app, I think, there's a feature called nudge, and you can just go one measurement.
Smallest increment is.
One dynamount unit, as they would say on Futurama, like left or right. And they show the mic just move like half a centimeter
imperceptibly.
One direction. Yeah. It looks really cool, really customizable. Fiercely precise and simple to use, they say. I think this is cool. It's already fully funded. I mean, this thing is happening. Yeah. So
cool.
22 days to go. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, a lot of them are all gone. A lot of the early birds are all gone. Yeah. In fact, you can only get the V1 with no rotation for $250. There are 8 of those left. all the other early birds are all gone
until
we get to the X1 with no rotation. So yeah, the ones with no rotation are the ones nobody wants.
There's even one backer for the distribution bundle, $3,600 pledge.
So this is they send you 10 of, there's a little variety here. Three of both of the rotation models and two of the non-rotation, each of the non-rotation models. So you're getting $5,500 MSRP merchandise for $3,600.
That's cool.
So if you have a music store and, you know.
Oh, look at this. The one right below that, pledge 1200, all gone. Get a Dynamite model of your choice and have one of your songs mixed by the legendary producer-engineer Fred Archambault.
Better than I would have done.
That's true. I guess he got a platinum record for Avenged Sevenfold. Huh.
Cool.
Neat.
Well, somebody bought that.
Yeah, man. Dynamount robotic microphone mounts.
Cool.
Check that out. Fund it or don't. Or it's all pretty much already done.
You don't have to. You can wait for this stuff to hit market and see what the real market price is going to be, I guess.
Yeah. I want to see like some real demos of this. Yeah. And some reviews. Okay.
Hey, look at that. We did an episode.
Yeah, we did.
Oh my God.
Episode actually 40. Oh, look at me. I'm all dark. It's getting dark outside.
Yeah, I was noticing that.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, cool. So what do you got going on? What are you doing?
What am I doing with with myself? Oh, you know. Actually, kind of let this week space out on me. I'd been pretty busy lately.
Did you work yesterday?
I did yesterday.
Yesterday was Memorial Day. Yeah. I did not work. I went and bought an AC30.
Yeah, I did work yesterday and I worked Sunday and I don't think I worked Saturday. Anyway, I had a lot going on. There was some things, some people had some deadlines and had to get their recordings done in time, and we did it. We took care of it. And I'm letting this week be a little thin. I'm going to start painting my daughter's nursery.
Sweet.
I'm going to paint her a safari mural.
Nice.
A fairly simple kind of silhouette situation. I think I got a cool thing in mind.
Kids love safaris.
They better.
Tough shit.
Yeah, so I'm going to start working on that stuff, and we're getting down to it. We're starting to collect things. I bought a recliner, so now we have like comfy chairs in all the places where a human might want to nurse a baby.
Right. Cool.
It's happening.
Here we go.
Have I said on the show that my daughter's kicks have become visible to the naked eye?
I think you did. I think that sounds familiar.
That happened last time.
Yeah.
Or I think I might have just said it on Facebook. I don't know. Anyway, the point is,
they're like little like judo chops.
It's like it's like the movie Alien up in here. It's I can see it from across the room sometimes. It's
nice.
I honestly like, you know, I haven't had a lot of babies, but I did not know that they were. I knew you could feel them, but I did not know that it looked like that. Like, guys, Google baby kicking in the womb, because you'll find lots of videos of people pointing their cameras at their bellies, and it's wild. It looks like something is crawling around in there, because it is.
Well, it's because it actually is. Yeah.
It really is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wicked. Cool, man.
Anyway.
Well, I think that's all she wrote.
Yeah. Go play. Yeah. Go play. Hey, everybody. Go play guitar.
Play it loud.
Hey, we just made a kind of a cool sign off.
Yeah.
You know what's weird what's weird about me though is I'm probably going to leave this part of the conversation instead of actually signing it off.
Right. Because now it's a lot less cool. What if we did this every time?
This whole conversation?
Yeah. Like, man, we really got to stop doing that.
You know we'll forget about that bit, right?
You're right. Or just say, hey, everyone, play tennis.
Play tennis.
Oh, man.
Play tennis.
Play it loud. Wait.
Play it loud.
Okay.
Yep. Good episode.